99 FM W260 CMB Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden takes center stage on Capitol Hill tonight to try to convince Americans the State of the Union is good. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe on what could be a critical campaign speech ahead of the 2024 election.
The big argument we're expecting him to continue making, Donald Trump and Republicans are trying to turn the country back on issues like reproductive rights. We saw in Minnesota again, high percentage of people voted uncommitted, criticizing his position on the Israel-Hamas war. If he can't turn that around, there's a real risk base Democratic voters won't show up in the battleground states. And then messaging on the economy. Polling continues to show us Americans upset about the direction of the economy. He's got 8 months to reverse that. The State of the Union, obviously a unique opportunity to try.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill set to learn more about a popular app. A new bill could give the president power to ban TikTok, which provides inspiration for everything from dance moves to cooking tips. The concern? Chinese odor ByteDance might use it to spy. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A number of progressives, including Jamal Bowman of New York, say this bill goes way too far and that it does indeed infringe on First Amendment rights and has a hint of hypocrisy because there are a number of members of Congress who utilize this tool, and the White House, which has endorsed this bill, uses it too.
Officials in Philadelphia reporting the fourth shooting on the city's transit system in 4 days. This time, 8 high school students were shot as they were getting onto a bus when 3 masked shooters jumped out of a car and started firing. Mayor Sherelle Parker.
We want no one in the city of Philadelphia concerned about whether or not they can come out and go to the store, go to the supermarket. We don't want you feeling captive in your home.
Sentencing set for May for the woman in charge of weapons on Alec Baldwin's movie Rust. A jury in New Mexico found Hannah Gutierrez-Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter in cinematographer Helena Hutchins' death, the way juror Albert Sanchez sees it.
Never did the safety checks. Never checked the rods to pull them out to look at them, shake them. I mean, if you'd have done that, this wouldn't have happened.
Gutierrez-Reed could get up to 18 months in prison. A Long Island woman sails into the history books. CBS's Vicki Barker.
29-year-old Cole Brower has just become the first American woman to sail solo around the world, having survived bruised ribs from a storm.
Incredibly painful.
Giving herself an IV for dehydration.
And I'm terrified of needles.
131 days after setting out, her 40-foot sailboat First Light crossed the finish line off Northwest Spain just after dawn. Brower deliberately slowed her final approach last night so that her beloved First Light could reach that landmark at first light.
Vicki Barker from the Foreign Desk. S&P futures up 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihaut. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin Wednesday with Labor Secretary Julie Sue talking up apprenticeship opportunities at a Madison construction site.
They are learning skills that are about engineering and technology. They are learning skills that is about complex math and science. And these are the kinds of skills that we need in a variety of jobs.
President Biden Wednesday signed an executive order that aims to create paid apprenticeships in the trades to help rebuild America's infrastructure. Most kids are doing okay after a school bus and a dump truck crashed in Waukesha Wednesday morning. Police say there were 34 kids on the bus. Some of them got some scrapes and cuts from broken glass. Only one child had to go to the hospital. I'm Nate Wagihaut, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get crushed by Golden State.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks began their West Coast trip by losing by 35 points to Golden State, the final 125-90. Doc Rivers says the Warriors were rested and ready after getting blown out by Boston Sunday.
What did they have, 3-4 days off after losing by 50? What was the odds of them playing poorly? Zero.
Marquette losing at home on senior night to one of the best teams in the nation, the number 2-ranked UConn Huskies, 74-67. Shaka Smart. smart.
I told the guys in the locker room afterwards, you know, the real way to honor your seniors is what happens after senior night, the rest of the season.
In Green Bay, the Girls State High School basketball tournament is underway at the Rest Center. The finals on Saturday. Tonight in Madison, it's the Badgers against Rutgers.
You continue to push. You continue to reward the guys that are playing winning basketball and then helping the guys that are trying to find that space for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 45 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some rain developing after midnight. We'll drop to 39 for a low. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely. That rain will continue through tomorrow night with an inch or more of rain possible by Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
And the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I like music, man. That's why I like to go to the airport early, you know? They always play great music. They always have unbelievable sound systems. You get there early, you take advantage of that. You just jam to the best music known to man. Occasionally there's an announcement, but other than that, you're just getting into the music, you know. Yesterday, all my would the gentleman who left a briefcase at the security area of Concourse C please return to claim your briefcase. And it seems like all unattended vehicles will be towed away at the owner's expense. Oh, I believe there's been a gate change for flight 207. It'll now be departing out of gate 19. Yesterday. I love that song. Takes my mind off traveling.
WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday morning. Gorgeous morning. Clear sky. We're in the about 36 degrees. Sun is up. Oh, what a great day to be alive. Huh? It's 7:08, and this is WRJN Historical Marker number 5. And a brief rundown of why I do these is because I was at a friend's funeral, and there was not, after 30 years in radio, no voice air checks of this man. In other words, there was nothing to prove he was ever on the radio in 30 years. And I said, I'm not going to let that happen with WRJN. So I'm trying to get all the people that are still alive. We're starting with the oldest people first, because those are the people. Tony Gazzana, our owner, was the first guy on there. And I told him that. I said, I'm going with the oldest people first because I can't count on you being around in years. And he said, well, I'm glad you appreciate me. Anyway, so we're at number 5 with Pete Ferrand. And you were afternoon host here for what years? Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. Hello there, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah,
this is fun. It's always it really was.
It's like stepping into the Twilight Zone, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. It seems long ago and far away.
Yeah,
it was from 2005 to 2011.
So the last time you were in this building was...
The last time I was in this building was much more recently, because okay. Racine County had its open day, and WRJN was a participant in that, and it was shortly after the place was sold from Bliss to Magnum, and, you know, the Carcos were still here and so forth. So that's when I was in the building, so I saw some of the changes, but it's been at least 6 years now, maybe 5-6 years.
Yeah, when I came in here after 9 years, it was like an out of body experience, because I was here for 24 years, then I was gone for 9, and now I was here before that because I used to meet with Lou Turner. We went out to lunch, and I used to pick him up here and stuff. It's kind of a freaky thing to go back when you've been gone so long. And so Pete Ferrand was here, did Afternoon Drive, we called it, on WRJN Radio. And let's go back to a little bit before that. Where are you from?
I am originally from New York City.
New York City or in Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island? Where?
I was just going to say that. Was born in Queens. The first 12 years of my life spent in Manhattan. And then we moved to the South Bronx. So depending on whom I'm talking to, I can say, I'm from Manhattan, or, I'm from the South Bronx.
Yeah. Well, I was born in Manhattan, lived in the Bronx, but mainly grew up on Long Island.
Yeah.
My dad said, we're getting out of here.
Yeah. Usually a wise choice, and a lot of people did.
Little did he know, the house he bought in Massapequa would be 10 blocks from the Gilgo Beach killer, the serial killer. He lived 10 blocks from us. And then you had the Mary Jo Buttafuoco shooting.
Oh, yes,
by Amy
of course.
Fisher, which was also in our town of Massapequa.
Yes.
And we had Carlo Gambino, the godfather from Massapequa.
Massapequa is a big place, really, geographically.
Yeah.
It covers a lot of area. My dad worked in New Hyde, Lake Success, New Hyde Park area for many years.
In Queens, Long Island.
North,
yeah.
Well, on the North Shore.
Yeah,
so I was much more into the North Shore.
People are confused that Queens and Brooklyn are physically on Long Island.
Yes, and they're counties officially.
Right, but they're not. When you say Long Island, you think of Nassau and Suffolk County, which are the more uncity-like areas. But yeah, they're physically on Long Island, I guess. I hate when people say, where are you from? Long Island. Well, Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk County are 103 miles long. Could you like narrow it down a little bit?
Yeah,
I'm from Long Island. There are like 80 towns on Long Island. Which one are you from? Okay, so you're born in Queens.
Yeah,
and
only a couple miles away from where Donald Trump was born.
Yes, I know that. Yeah, my dad used to work with his father on certain projects.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you get the radio bug?
Oh, gosh. I was about probably 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah, most people in radio were, yeah.
Most people were, and most people in a lot of jobs. I had a doctor, and I mentioned this in some context to the doctor. He says, yeah, I knew I wanted to be a doctor when I was 9 years old. So there are a lot of jobs, a lot of people who have jobs who have this calling, and radio is one of the jobs you have to have a calling for, because otherwise you can't put up with it.
But, yeah, the kids who were doctors said, yeah, I was playing doctor my neighbor's kids there when I was 9 years old. We take off the clothes and I play doctor on them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but in radio, we all had basement radio stations.
Yeah, I had an amateur radio station.
You were the amateur, you had that ham radio stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I never got into that. I went to Lafayette Electronics, which
we all did.
Bigger electronics store on Long Island. They had everything. They were like the Best Buy of their day, but super Best Buy.
They also had a lot of parts to build stuff with. And they were in Syosset. Their big store was in Syosset.
On the North Shore, yeah.
They had one in Queens. I don't remember Queens Boulevard area.
But the one in Syosset was the big one.
That was the headquarters, yeah.
And I bought a radio transmitter, a little radio transmitter, and I hooked it up to my reel-to-reel recorder with my automatic reversing one, and I had a 24-hour-a-day radio station. Before that, I had a Remco Caravelle radio.
Oh, yeah.
When I was about 8 or 9 years
old. They'll show up occasionally on eBay.
I got one.
My son got me one.
It was mint condition.
Very good.
Okay, so you got the radio bug, and when did you get on professional radio?
On professional radio at age 17 at WHN, now, which used to be around.
Huge radio station. Huge.
Yeah, it was not well respected in the radio market.
AM 1050.
Because they were like number 9 or number 10 in the market, not number 1 or number 2.
But still, it was New York
City. But it was still 50,000 watt New York City radio station. I was a summer engineer, they called it at the time, summer relief engineer, and I did the overnight shift, which is what I liked doing. That's the one I would pick. And it was a lot of fun, and I got to meet all these people and see how it worked, and said, my major market isn't all that great. The pay was good, but...
You know what? And a lot of radio people realize that they fight to get to the major market. Yeah. When they get there, they realize it's the same as the smaller market, but with higher wattage. And that's that's about it.
No, actually, I would disagree with that. It's more of a competition and more backbiting... more just general, general negativity and so forth. In the major market stations that I've worked for, which include over the years the WHN, WHDH in Boston, a station whose call letters I can't recall now in East Providence, Rhode Island. There's a lot of this backbiting going on and a lot of negativity. It's just, it's not
really
pleasant.
I was very lucky. I had backbiting at every station I worked at.
Yeah, right.
So WHN, you were an engineer.
Yeah, I was they called it an engineer because of union requirements, but it was actually board op, what you and I today would call a board op.
What I'm doing.
What you're doing used to be called combo in the business because you're both on the air and running the equipment. What I was doing, I was sitting in a room with a console just like you have. Well, anyway, this RCA console, and then there was an announcer in an adjacent room, and we looked at each other through the glass.
Some big names came from there. Now, when you were there, they were probably what they call middle-of-the-road music.
Absolutely.
It later became country and became a huge powerhouse in New York City, WHN.
It absolutely did, and then it turned to sports and religion and went down whatever. It no longer exists in any estate.
Yeah. But so where'd you go from there?
And HN was on 400 Park Avenue, by the way, next to the Lever Brothers building, which is famous for architectural reasons. I would look out
and
the window and and see this amazing building on so I was taking the subway at close to midnight on which was a trip and a half also because I would commute by subway.
So where'd you go from there?
Where I went from there to Mount Kisco.
Now, Mount Kisco is just outside Manhattan.
It's about 30 miles north of the city. And I would commute by Penn Central, the late lamented Penn Central Railroad.
WVIP?
No, the other one.
That's the only one I know in Mount Kisco.
Yeah, and that's gone away too, I think.
Yeah.
WRNW was call letters. And we have a WRNW now, I think, did recently here.
In Milwaukee,
Milwaukee,
The 97 FM.
They've picked up the call letters. But that station later on moved from Mount Kisco to...
Spring Valley?
No. It moved south to... I can't think of it right now. It's... at our age, the pressure of thinking sometimes and coming up with words sometimes disappears. It went to a place that Briarcliff Manor. And Howard Stern worked there. That was his first commercial station.
Right, Briarcliff Manor, right. Howard Stern talks about that all the time, how he got started. He played an air check.
Oh, really?
Some from there. He was awful. He was just terrible. I mean, I listened to air checks of myself in my first radio job, and they were awful. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You always say, how was I employed at this company?
Right.
What cocaine high was he on when he hired me? Pete Ferrand is here. It's WRJN, historical marker number 5. We'll talk about his years here at WRJN coming up shortly. First, we got to work our way here because we plucked this guy out of New England when we found him.
Yes, he did.
That's coming up in just a moment. 7:18, make it 7:19 and now. WRJN Radio. Cloudy today with a high near 43. Mostly clear right now, 36 degrees.
Your You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope. And they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Historical marker number 5. Pete Ferrand is here, and we're talking about his career and how he wound up at WRJN Radio. Okay, so you wound up upstate New York, or not upstate, but just north of Manhattan in Briarcliff Manor and Mount Kisco. Eventually, you get to New England somehow. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I was working in Utica, New York for a traditional station, much like this was when I started, WIBX, which is still around and still doing news talk on 950 out of Utica. Had numerous management and ownership changes over the years, obviously, because we're talking about 50 years ago.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah, about 50 years ago.
50 years ago. And in fact, the station was, it's only for the state, that station was in the middle of its 50th anniversary, so they had a big party and all that stuff, as usual. Started to disintegrate, and I don't remember why, but I wound up in New Hampshire, taking a job in New Hampshire, doing afternoon drive in Keene.
Thinking your life was over?
No, not really. it was basically about the same thing, another 5,000-watt radio station, another 5,000-watt directional station. And what happened then? Well, it's a long, long story here. I don't know if that it's relevant to anything today. But I got into a deal for, well, a station in Nashua, New Hampshire lost its license due to numerous improprieties that there's no need to go into now.
Which is pretty not uncommon in radio.
No, not really. And I formed a group to apply for that station and apply for the license. And long story short, nine years later, we got bought out because the principles that we had a competitive application for had changed. The FCC changed on what they were looking for and what was desirable. So I did wind up in Nashua and basically switched careers for a number of years. I did documentation consulting and course development for the computer industry, which in the 1980s was going great guns around Boston. So Nashua is basically a suburb of Boston, if you want to consider it that. So I had a bunch of jobs with not actual jobs, but contract assignments with companies like Digital Equipment Corporation and Honeywell and Lotus and a whole Data General and a whole lot of other companies that no longer exist, which is most of those.
You know, somebody told me when I was first got into radio, we always went, when I was a kid, to New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine on vacations, summer vacations. I said, I want to work in New Hampshire. And I remember the guy at the radio station said, you will starve to death if you work in New Hampshire. Because remember, I was coming from Long Island, and they pay top dollar, $1.85 an hour.
Yeah, right. So I got $2.15. So. Yeah.
Well, I later went to $2.50, but that's a whole story how I got that raise. But they said you'll starve. So I did apply to New Hampshire, a station in Mount was licensed to Mount Washington.
Oh yeah,
WHOM was the name of the station.
Right,
and the guy's name was Peter Thing. And I get a call one day at my mother's house. My mother said, a Mr. Thing called you.
what,
from the Adams family? What are you, Mr. Thing? He said his name was Mr. Thing. Yep. I called him up, and his name was Peter Thing, and he offered me a job to come to New Hampshire. And all going through my mind, like the two little, you know, the devil and angel on your shoulder, you'll starve if you go. Go take the job. It's nice. You'll starve if you go. And so I didn't take it. But so you're
Marty,
in
New- Marty on the mountain.
So when did you...
I got to finish that story, though. WHOM had a TV station as well, and it was located on top of Mount Washington, and I would pass by it whenever I went to Mount Washington.
5,000 feet up.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever the number is. Yeah. It's the highest peak this side of the Mississippi River in the Northeast. And they had a TV station as well as the FM station, and... He just died a few years over this past year. They had an engineer, because they had to staff the transmitter 24/7, and they had this one engineer who was told the first day that he got to work, he said, "You're doing the weather." So the station had this gimmick of one of the engineers would do a weather forecast from the mountain. And his name was Marty something. And so for like 24, 28 years, Marty on the mountain was doing a weather forecast with absolutely no broadcast experience on air. And he would say frequently, "I'm not a meteorologist. I'm an engineer."
Well, they had to live up there in the winter.
They had to live up there, absolutely, because there's no way to get up or down.
Right. In the wintertime, you can drive your car up there in the summer.
Oh,
because,
sure.
Because, we did it
a lot
twice.
A lot of people did. Yeah, every time I had visitors from out of town, we'd go up Mount Washington because that was a thing
to do. It's a scary road to get up there.
It is.
You
can also take a cog railway, which is very expensive and very slow.
Yeah. The cog train, yeah.
But that's the other. But that station never really worked from Mount Washington, and it no longer is. The FM station covered most of New England. Somebody in 1950 thought it was a great idea, but they couldn't sell advertising because a local gas station isn't going to pay for the whole, for three states of coverage. So they had a problem. Jack Parr owned that station for a little while.
The Tonight Show, Jack Parr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
finally this radio station project got ended, and I was able to look for a job, so I got a job. The first job was at in Manchester, and then there was another job in Peterborough simultaneously, and then another job in blah, 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 and I wound up in New London at a talk station doing morning talk, and that lasted for 7 years. And then the boss found somebody who would work for free.
His son-in-law?
No, not his son-in-law, but a guy who sold time on the station in return for working for
free. So that's
what
he did? He replaced you with somebody who would work for free?
Yes.
I've never been replaced by someone who would work for free. I've been replaced by people, relatives I've had to work with before, but... Never that. All right, we're talking to Pete Foran this morning, and we're going to tell how we plucked him out of obscurity in New England and how he got here, which is kind of an interesting story. That's coming up here at WRGN Radio in our historical marker number 5 today. It's 7:28, and there was something I had to say, and I forgot what it was. Oh, tonight... the State of the Union address is going to be held, and our own Stuart J. Wattles will be commenting on that after the State of the Union address. So be listening for that here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station.
listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
So today is the day they'll announce the world champion cheese. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. And you can follow all the action online at worldchampioncheese.org. Plenty of tired judges that are going to be happy to see the end of this proverbial cheese tunnel. One of those, Jill Allen. She traveled all the way from Oregon State to be a part of the judging. She works for Tillamook Cheese there. And she said what many people may not understand is, for a trained judge, it doesn't take very long to find out which ones are winners.
It's fairly fast. You know, you see a beautiful piece of cheese. It's put on your table. The presentation is gorgeous of it. You connect with the product once you pull your first plug. You're smelling the aroma on it. It's got some inviting flavors to it. You warm the piece of cheese up in your fingers if it's we're grading hard cheeses. And then we're going to taste it and feel it. And you get that overall sense of this is a cheese that has no defects to it, whether it's for, you know, to convert or to further age out. And it just all comes together, and that final showpiece of, yes, this one is an amazing piece of cheese with no defects.
Veteran cheese judge, that's Jill Allen, traveling all the way from Tillamook Cheese in Oregon to be part of the World Champion Cheese event in Madison. One thing you might not stop and think about is all these judges have to clean their palate between cheese samples. For Jill's preference, she likes sparkling water. She said you also need to understand, judges don't actually eat all of those cheeses. They chew it, and then they spit it out.
Keeping Wisconsin strong. As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin's student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I think the collaboration that we see between Wisconsin Farm Bureau and these other commodity groups gives us a cohesive message, a singular stance in agriculture that offers credibility. It gives us a cohesive message and support for all of our agricultural organizations.
WFBF.com.
It's easy to join.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
And one Wisconsin cheesemaker is already qualified for potentially being a world champion. Decatur Dairy with master cheesemaker Steve Stelter topped the open class cheese curd category with their Munster curds. Find more results at worldchampioncheese.org. I'm PM Yonke.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 45 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some rain developing after midnight. We'll drop to 39 for a low. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely. That rain will continue through tomorrow night with an inch or more of rain possible by Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
WRJN is excited to welcome country platinum recording artist Riley Green to the State Fair main stage on Wednesday, August 7th. There was this girl. Get ready to kick up your boots and let loose for an unforgettable night of music, solid vibes, and summer fun. Also joining Riley is fellow country sensation Avery Anna. Tickets are on sale right now at WIStateFair.com. And all this week, Don Rosen has your chance to win a pair of tickets between 6 and 8 a.m. on WRJN.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Neil Diamond. It's 7:35 at WRJN Radio. It's our fifth WRJN historical marker. We're marking the history of WRJN Radio. Pete Ferrand is here today. So, you come to WRJN, we pluck you out of obscurity in New England. You you can't remember the radio station we got you from, though.
I remember it was on 1400. It was somewhere around 1400, just
really?
Like this. So 1420, actually.
Now, how did we get you? You applied, or?
Oh, yeah, there was an ad on the web, on the internet.
Internet or Broadcasting Magazine?
No, Internet. Okay. Broadcasting Magazine had already gone sort of
south.
Marginal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still around, but it was no longer the Bible. It was the late lamented All Access webpage.
Oh, yeah. They're around a little bit. Not
a
like
little
they
bit,
used to
but
be.
They, but yeah. They don't do what they did
yeah.
then.
Okay, what did we ask for? What were we asking in the ad for?
I don't remember exactly. It was a talk show, talk show host.
And you said, probably. Gee, I have never been to the Midwest before in my life, which you probably hadn't been at that
well,
point.
Well, yes, I have, because my aunt and uncle live in Evanston, and I visited them.
Oh, but you never worked in the Midwest.
No, I never worked in the Midwest, okay. But I'd been to the...
you traveled here.
Traveled here, yeah.
Evanston, Indiana?
No, Evansville.
Oh, Evansville, Illinois?
No, I'm sorry. Evanston, now you got me confused. It's Evansville, Indiana, but my aunt and uncle lived in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago.
Okay. So
the good neighborhood.
Now I think we did the interview with you over the phone. We did it in person because I met you at the airport.
Right, you did both. Actually, there was a phone interview as there normally.
I remember
would be.
We're sitting at the airport and we're watching the people come through thing, and we're seeing we don't know what you look like.
That's right.
So we're seeing these weird people. I said, "Oh, I hope that's not him." Oh, gee, please God, don't let that be him. Please don't. We're seeing these like really strange human beings walk through. And finally, you walk through, and we meet you. And
after a run on Midwest Express.
Yes, what a great airline!
Yeah,
they closed them down.
That was a pleasure. That was in April of 2005.
So you come here, and we hire you for afternoon drive, which was like what 2 or 3 at 6 o'clock or something like that.
It changed a couple of times.
Okay, we hired you for a talk show.
Mike Gallagher was my predecessor. I believe. Do you remember Mike?
Yeah, I remember that.
Now at that previous station, I had a run-in with Mike Gallagher because we also had Mike Gallagher, and one of our regular listeners had told Mike Gallagher on the air that I had said something abhorrent in some mysterious way, and so they got Mike Gallagher to call me on the air, on his air, at the station, and answer for my transgression, whatever political point I made, I don't know. Well, it turned out, of course, that the regular listener had gotten things mixed up, and in fact I agreed with him on whatever that point was. But he asked me a bunch of other questions on politics, and one of the questions stays in my mind for the 20 years now, and he said, "Do you like the war?" Now, the Iraqi war was going on at that point. I said, "Do you like the war?" And usually I can come up with an answer, but I couldn't come up with an answer to that because it's like, do I like the war? No, I don't. I love wars. Yes, kill, kill, kill. What from Alice's Restaurant? What is going? So I said that was my Mike Gallagher moment.
Yeah, he badmouthed me on the radio because somebody called him and said, "Well, this guy Don Rosen on Sound Off is just raking you over the coals," and he got on and just badmouthed me, and he badmouthed me for working at a local small station, which we used him as we were one of his affiliates.
Right.
And he's bad-mouthing one of the affiliates on the air. Whatever happened to Mike Gallagher?
I have no idea.
Now, I remember I felt terrible because his wife passed away from cancer.
Okay.
And I felt terrible, and I sent him a note saying my condolences. I felt terrible. But I don't know what happened to him. He kind of vanished. He was one of the right-wingers on the radio.
Yeah, one of many.
Yeah. So he vanished. So you did afternoon drive here.
Yep.
That's the only shift you ever did here, right?
Other than fill in. I mean, yeah. if our morning guy took off, or if you took off, I filled in for you sometimes.
Yeah, or you know, if somebody got arrested and has been jail overnight.
Yeah, incarcerated is always an issue.
Fill in until we came up with bail. That was always good. By the way, don't laugh. That happened here. One of our employees here was arrested, and we had to go down and bail her out. And I went down with our general manager at the time, was Tim Edis.
Oh, yeah.
We were at a Christmas party, and we had to go bail her out of jail. And then she had an ankle bracelet on when she worked here.
Golly.
And I said, this is... But she was very good at what she did. She was a telemarketer for us.
Okay.
But she, you know, couldn't keep herself out of jail.
And it wasn't
It was just violating things that she shouldn't have, like showing up at somebody's house and stuff like that.
Yeah, minor. No, it was relatively minor.
Yeah, it wasn't drugs or anything like that. Okay, so you're here at WRJN. What are some of the highlights of your career?
Well, I've had there were a lot of it. This was about the best job I've ever had, really, on the air. Because we were doing actual radio as opposed to marginal radio, which some of my other jobs were about, and we were actually making a point and actually having useful and interesting guests. Now, one thing that happened. Now, we're going to jump ahead. Since I left the station, what I've been doing is voice work as a voice actor, doing audiobooks and things of that nature. And just about 3 weeks ago, I had an audiobook that I got to do, and it was the heretofore undiscovered works of Lysander Spooner. Lysander Spooner was a Massachusetts lawyer and abolitionist who died in 1875. And I needed to find out who it was I was actually working with, because obviously it wasn't him. So I Googled the guy's name when I found it from the webpage that I was working with, and I found that this guy that I was working with now had written an article about Yuri Maltsev, okay, about in 2011. And I said, Yuri Maltsev? Golly gee, he was one of my favorite guests. Yuri Maltsev was an economist who worked for Mikhail Gorbachev in setting up the economy of Russia after the Soviet Union broke up. He later escaped, wound up at Carthage as a professor, and I found him there, and he was here several times on the air talking politics. And so I wrote to my new client with the audiobook, and I said, I know Yuri Maltsev. He was a regular guest, etc. And the guy said, that's utterly amazing. I never met him, but I've listened to every one of his lectures that are on, you know, on YouTube or whatever it was. So I said, okay, that's an interesting context. Now, Yuri unfortunately died last year. So,
but he was here on WRJ. Was he ever in the building?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He would always come into the building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was a lot of people did, and that was always my preference if people were willing to show up. We had a couple other professors from Carthage as well show up. We had a number of interesting guests. I had Judge Napolitano on whenever he had a book to flog.
Oh yeah, the hanging
New Jersey.
Judge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
That's a good guest to have, Judge Napolitano. He was a big Fox guy, Fox News guy.
Later on, yeah. We had a number of guests. Of course, we had every politician that came through here from time to time on.
Now, I know you had Paul Ryan on the air.
Oh, yes, numerous times.
And I'll tell you what. This is one day he was waiting to come on with you, and he was sitting in our lobby on that very same couch we have there now. He was on the other side, and he was sitting there, and I was still working late. And I came out. I said, Congressman Ryan. And he always wanted to be called Paul. Don't call me Congressman Ryan. But I did it.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the couch talking to him. One-on-one, little did I know he'd be Speaker of the House.
Yes,
one of the most
reluctantly.
Reluctantly, right. One of the most powerful men in this country, Speaker of the House. And here I am sitting on he's sitting on the couch, and I'm just sitting on a chair across from him, just shooting the breeze with Paul Ryan. And he was waiting to come on the air with you at the time.
Now, one of the things about Paul Ryan, and I know you don't want to do too much and get too much into politics, but I asked Paul Ryan a question that I was really hoping he would answer have a good answer for, because he's a bright guy and obviously a successful guy and so forth. And I said, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my parents would say the Republicans are for the rich and the Democrats are for the poor and the working class and so forth. And I said, this image persists to this day. Why is that? And, you know, shouldn't you change that in order to get more support? And he didn't have an answer to that. And I was very disappointed because I wanted to hear a good answer to that.
I would love to talk to politicians to get an answer to anything.
Anything.
They,
well,
they kind of rope-a-dope you and they, you know, get around it, but they don't come out for the punch.
They answer other questions. You ask them a question and they give you an answer to a different question.
That you didn't ask.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, that's been going around a lot lately. So,
we have that.
What other good guests did you have? Mainly you did a lot of just picking up the phones and talking to
people. Picking up the
phones,
which actually is more fun because it's more unpredictable and we give voice.
But you have your regulars, too.
We give a voice to people who have something to say that are not routine because politicians, you know, they're going to promote themselves and so is everybody else who's coming on the air. But random people from the phone, who knows what they're going to say? And that was the exciting part. I prefer radio the way we did it without screeners and all that other production stuff that goes in. Who was a great guest, and I had him on occasionally was Tom Carco, and our news director, because we had now most people who have been listening, I'm sure, remember Gary Becker, and the mayor, who.
I remember that morning.
It did not end well.
No,
he was arrested for attempted child
soliciting.
Attempted, right? And Tom had gone down to City Hall and Police Department and all that, and so I asked him to join me in the talk studio, and so we spent an hour or so talking because he had, you know, all these personal contacts, and in a 5-minute newscast he's just going to say what happened in the very excellent way that he always did, but it's only a couple of minutes could he devote to that. So we had the whole hour and I got his personal impression of what happened there, and in ensuing years he was able to come into the studio occasionally. Like I said, it wasn't a regular thing, but when there was a big story developing, he would spend time with me, and we would talk about the details from his point of view. And I thought that was wonderful.
We did that on Sound Off, too, after his newscast. Then we get into the stories a little more. He was my first guest I had here when I came back.
Wow.
He is the station historian.
Yes.
There isn't anything about the history of this station that he doesn't know. As a matter of fact, some of the people who are going to come in and do the historical marker, I'm not familiar with. I know their names, but I didn't work with them.
Sure.
So Tom is going to have to come in and sit here with me and talk to them. You know, you can interview people, but I'd rather have somebody who can say, do you remember with the time you did? I won't remember that time because they were before me. But Tom is the station historian.
Yeah.
And it's so great to have him as a reference to everything. He's a treasure to this radio station's history. He was my first guest.
So that stands out. And we had some topics that stand out. We had the Kenosha Racine Milwaukee train project. Do you remember that?
Which is still going on.
And which, you know,
the mayor was talking about it.
Yeah.
KRM.
And I remain convinced that my original point of view was correct, which I usually am because I don't change my mind very often. But I keep saying, if this is going to work, why don't they just set up a bus service to run this route? And then, if it's successful and people are filling up to the point that we can't get enough buses, then we can talk about a train. It costs 1/10 of the price, is more flexible, and we'll see if anybody actually rides it. But, you know, trains are sexier.
They're still working on it. And when the mayor was in here, I said, that they were working that when I moved to Wisconsin.
That's
in 1980.
Right.
They were still talking about that train thing. And he said something, and I can't remember his phrase, something like, certain things, you know, good ideas never die, or something like that. It was something like that phrase.
Expensive ideas never die.
Yeah, whatever. All right, we're talking to Pete Ferrand. It's our WRJN historical marker number 5. And coming up, we're going to find out, why did Pete Ferrand leave this paradise of radio? That's going to come up. And what he's doing today as well. So that's straight ahead here. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed. We're at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM.
We'll be right back. listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hello. Hey, can I have your attention for just a moment? If you're in Racine County, I'm talking to you. You know, we have elections in August and November. That's when we can decide to vote to keep lawmakers on the job or throw them out and try someone new. This recall business with Robin Voss, it's just plain dumb. It's a giant waste of more than $400,000 in taxpayer money. And we just have to turn around and have the regular elections in November anyway. Whatever you think of Robin Voss, just say no to the stupid recall. Don't sign a petition because you're sick of politics as usual. The stupid recall won't accomplish anything other than wasting taxpayer dollars. It's bad enough when politicians do that to us. We shouldn't do it to ourselves. Okay? All right, I'll let you get back to whatever you were doing. Paid for by Wisconsinites for Liberty Fund, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's 7:51 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen talking to Pete Ferrand at our historical marker number 5.
Hello.
Okay, so you're very successful. You're very happy here. You're here for a number of years at WRJN, and you decided to leave. Now, we didn't fire you.
No.
You left on your own accord. Why was that?
Well, you changed the format. I don't know how much you want to get into this.
What, to music?
No, not to music.
What did we do?
Wanted to go to an all-news format, or at least so you told me. That never actually happened, as far as I know. But that's what you told me.
I must have lied to you, because I don't think we ever went to an all-news format.
I mean, I don't want to get into an argument over this, but went to an all-news format without the local talk. And, or at least that's what I told. And I said, no, I can't really do that. I'm not a newsman. Don't make me a newsman. It's been tried before, and it hasn't worked. And so I said, I can't work. And the very lovely and talented Ted Elin took over.
But we never went to an all-news format.
I know that.
But what?
But that's what you told me you wanted to do. I don't know if we want to get into this.
Maybe more news-oriented.
We were always news-oriented.
I don't know. So you decided to leave here, and this is your last radio job, right?
Yes, this is the last radio job.
Okay, and so
kind of got tired of the whole. Anybody who follows radio knows that radio has changed dramatically, and there wasn't much left at appealing. And then I didn't really want to move again and do all that. Now I did have a really interesting job offer from a. Not a radio station, but a TV station in Delaware, a place that I have been to very, very, very briefly, know nothing about, really. But what they wanted me to do, and they were ready to fly me out and everything, this was a Fox affiliate, they wanted to do a morning radio-type talk show on TV, and it would be from like 6 to 9 or 6 to 8 or something like that, and with guests and you know, phone calls and that kind of stuff. And that's what they wanted. And
well, Don Imus did that for a while on TV.
Yeah. He was already in
on MSNBC. He was the morning guy.
Absolutely. Maybe that's what they were looking for. I don't know. But I didn't want to really feel like moving to Delaware. And the way they had structured that job, it looked like it would be 140 hours of work a week, you know, it just...
like most radio jobs.
Yeah, like exactly. Like most non-union small TV stations or radio stations. So I said, not really. So what else can I do? And I went into being a voice actor, and primarily audiobooks, but also commercials. And that's what I continue to do now, years later. I've done over 150 audiobooks.
Do we know any of the titles?
I doubt it. But you can look it up on audible.com with my, as Pete Ferrand.
You know, it's funny because I used to do some industrial audio for videos.
Right.
And people said, well, can I hear them? I said, well, one is for Case Tractors and their new Case Tractor, which is automated. And unless you plan on buying a tractor, you probably won't hear the demo.
Right.
But it was those type of things that nobody would ever hear unless you're buying a tractor.
Well, a lot of what I've done has been on YouTube. And for instance, I did a promotion for Garbly Publishing. Garbly Publishing, it's spelled like you'd think, garbled, you know. And what they are publishing is historical stuff relating to railroads. It's a small publisher in Pennsylvania. But if you go and look up Garbly Publishing on YouTube, you will find my voice in an old announcer style with a with a very, very nicely done video about what the company does.
I did one for, this is back in my early days in radio, I did one for how to play backgammon.
Wow.
And it was for a VHS video, and I was in the store one day, and I found it. And I bought the video, and sure enough, it looked and sounded great. And there was another one for a band orchestra. They were for their video, they did a little thing about the band, and I narrated it, and I said, actually, it wasn't bad. It sounded bad when you do it, because you're sitting in a studio with no visuals,
just
a script.
Yeah.
But when they put it together with the visuals, it wasn't bad. I still have it. It's on VHS cassette. I only just have to get a VHS player, and I'm all set.
Well, I never learned how to play backgammon, so
My wife and I play it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I love backgammon. I beat her every time. Okay. I feel bad when I beat her, too, because she takes it so well. But, yeah, I don't think she plays well. Anyway. So now you're still doing the audiobooks.
I'm doing audiobooks.
And which is great, because you can do that from home, right?
Absolutely. It's all done from home. I mean, it would be nice. It'd be nice to go down to a nice, expensive studio in Chicago with a director and an engineer, just like they did 30 years ago. But that hasn't happened. And it's not something I really am pushing for.
I think Mark's studio in Milwaukee, only once I went to a professional studio outside a radio station to record a commercial, and I didn't like the experience, because when you're doing it by yourself, you can do it. I'll do it again and again.
All day,
but when you're dealing with these guys, all right, we like that take. We're going to take it. But I didn't like it. Well, I don't care what you like.
Right, exactly.
What you like is unimportant to me. It was for We Energies I did. Actually, Wisconsin Electric. It was before We Energies. So this is great talking to you. Do you ever think we'd be back together again on the radio in this radio station?
Can never tell, right.
And that's it. You can never tell. When I walked back in here again, it started November 1st. Tom Carco and Jan Carco was in here. And I said, did you ever think we'd be sitting together in a studio on this radio station again? And they both said no. But it's good seeing you again. You look great. You sound,
thank you.
Your voice sounds just as you did when you were here.
Oh.
It hasn't changed. I interviewed Bob Barry recently. He was the king of radio in Milwaukee back in the 60s. He interviewed the Beatles on the air, the Rolling Stones. His voice sounds the same as he did when he was back in the 60s. I couldn't believe it. You know, if you take care of your voice and don't smoke and drink, you know, you'll sound good. So good seeing you, friend.
Thank you.
I love Pete Ferrand.
Thank you
very much. Historical marker number 5. Who's going to be number 6? Got to keep listening for that, and we'll tell you. I'm Don Rosen. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early here. WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station at 1400 a.m., 99.9 FM in Racine, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News talk and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent, running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.